A fantastic Friday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Game 6 has arrived, and while it's going to be a do-or-die situation for the Grizzlies on the road in a pretty formidable setting in the Chase Center in San Francisco, while the Grizzlies have a script for success to be able to extend this series once again, plus while the architect of the Grizzlies, Zach Kleiman, gets his just due recognition yesterday. That and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you're having a great start to your Friday. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. My co-host, Michael Cole. I know that there's been several episodes here recently where it's either me or DeMichael. A few sprinkled in there where it's been, you know, my favorite shows, which are me and DeMichael. DeMichael Cole is obviously traveling with the team, so the ability for us to be able to do things together right now may not be as frequent, but you get the same great perspectives every single day from your co-host, myself, Sean Coleman at StatsAC, to Michael Cole at DeMichael C on Twitter, your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, find the podcast on all podcast platforms for free, and right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. Thank you for all the support throughout the playoffs. Make sure you hit that subscribe button to know when the latest content is available. My name again is Sean Coleman. I've been a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies now for 2 years, covering the team for 4 years over at Grizzly Bear Blues here at Locked On Grizzlies. Always fun, especially when you're talking about the fact that the Grizzlies have now arrived at a place in time that they've not been here in nearly a decade, right? It was 2013. The last time the Grizzlies were in a position to where, you know, they could extend a series to maybe get to the Western Conference Finals. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, obviously. We'll discuss Game 6 in just a moment. But Thursday brought with it some fun news and a really fun topic that we probably don't discuss enough here, just because obviously the Grizzlies, you know, have been playing outstanding basketball all year. But the reason why they've had the resources to be able to do that, the reason why this team has been constructed in such a successful way, Zach Kleiman was recognized on Thursday as the 2021-2022 NBA Executive of the Year, and a very deserving award. Zach Kleiman, it's kind of, you know, got to make sense that Zach Kleiman is now the youngest person ever to win Executive of the Year, and it's been based on the success of the second youngest team in the NBA. But I bring all that up to say this: the reason why Zach Kleiman won this award was because of him betting on youth. That's exactly correct. Goodness, my hair. Hey, we'll be all right, though. The point of all this is to be able to know that you're comfortable on TV no matter what. All joking aside, though, Zach Kleiman, when it comes to the reason why he won this award, is because of how much he bet on the youth of the Grizzlies. And, of course, history took care of itself. The Grizzlies, the second-best record in the league. And the thing is there were little nuanced decisions that Zach Kleiman made along the way that really allowed for him to show his worth as a general manager. It allowed for Taylor Jenkins, who, you know, earlier this week it was announced he finished second in the Coach of the Year standings as well. It's great to see the leadership, the architect of this roster in Zach Kleiman and the coach of this roster in Taylor Jenkins. It was great to see them get the recognition for the job that they've done, which has both been outstanding this year. Now, one thing I know that stands out is that typically when it comes to Executive of the Year, you would think that, you know, a resume would be a bit easier to judge if you had moves that the executive actually made during the season. Because unless my memory is failing me, Zach Kleiman has not made a move at all this season. It's not as if the Grizzlies made some astute in-season signing or, you know, some great trade that has allowed for them to exceed expectations at the trade deadline. They had their turnaround from adjustments being made after the first 6 weeks of the season to where they really caught, you know, fire and played through the season, getting the second best record in the league. But I do want to say this. Just because in-season moves were not made does not mean that Zach Kleiman did not make pivotal decisions that highly impacted the success of the Grizzlies this season. For one, you can go back to the moves that happened before the year. It started when Zach Kleiman came into this season with four players that were going to be on expiring contracts: Grayson Allen, Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and Tyus Jones. Kleiman chose to trade two of those players while also keeping two for depth. He traded Jonas Valanciunas. He traded Grayson Allen. And the returns that he got for both those players at the time could be debatable. But I don't think that you can debate at all how successful those trades have been since then. Obviously, it begins with Steven Adams, if you want to talk about the tangible part of the trades that the Grizzlies got. Getting Steven Adams, who's not been Jonas Valanciunas, but in different ways, he's been effective as that man in the middle that has allowed for the growth of Jaren Jackson Jr., the ability that Steven Adams has shown to be able to create space for Ja to really blossom this year, and then also the added element that Steven Adams has had to contribute to the Grizzlies' success of being able to win the possession battle regularly as one of their most direct ways to win games. Getting Steven Adams was huge, but it's not just about the tangible assets, the players that the Grizzlies got back in return. It's about the opportunities that those moves created. Desmond Bane having the full opportunity to step up and stand out, which he absolutely has done, being one of the biggest breakout performers so far this season. Jaren Jackson Jr. being able to come back from health, having the freedom to do what he needs to do and leading the defense, being able to show the offensive flashes that we all know he's capable of. He's had the freedom to grow as well. And then, of course, you got the other big asset that the Grizzlies got from those trades, which was moving up the draft and getting Zaire Williams. And the thing is that not only did Zach Kleiman turn Jonas Valanciunas into a replacement in Steven Adams, who again, box score-wise, may not be may not contribute as much as Jonas Valanciunas, but obviously Adams has carried plenty of value this season. But the Grizzlies also were able to use that to get a move for the future, bring in a talent like Zaire Williams. And you would think that with the Grizzlies having as much success as they've had, there wouldn't really be an opportunity to allow for Zaire Williams to be a part of that, to grow. But due to the planning of Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins, they both found success with their team having the second best record in the league. But Zaire Williams has continued to be a bigger and bigger part of that. So if we're going to talk about moves that led to Zach Kleiman getting this award, it happened before the season, but what he and Taylor Jenkins have combined to do off those moves, how much they have benefited, how much value they were able to extract from making those moves, either directly or indirectly, either young players taking advantage of bigger opportunities that are there for them, or the Grizzlies taking the assets that they got and gaining far more value out of them than anybody could have thought. That is reasons why Zach Kleiman is deserving of the Executive of the Year. But it's not also, the moves that he made before the season are great, but sometimes the moves that you don't make prove to be just as valuable of a decision as the moves that you do make. And at the trade deadline, I'll be the first to admit, I was looking for the Grizzlies to go see what they could get it for a Kyle Anderson, go see what they could get for a Tyus Jones. But the thing is that they kept their team intact. And in a season in which the Grizzlies' best talent, Ja Morant, missed 25 games, in a season where Dylan Brooks, unfortunately, missed nearly 60% of the season, the Grizzlies didn't miss a beat because they kept their depth in place and also set up a culture where that depth can continue to grow. And keeping this team in place has proved to be pivotal, because look at the impact Tyus Jones made in the Timberwolves series and has made over the past two games for the Grizzlies, starting in place of Ja Morant. Look at the depth that Brandon Clark, Zaire Williams when he's got the chance, De'Anthony Melton in this series. Look at how the depth of the Grizzlies is showing that could be an advantage for them even in the playoffs. So just because there's not been a clear move or two during the season that Kleiman has made, one of the best decisions that have been made in the NBA this season is Zach Kleiman just leaving the Grizzlies alone and letting them mature and blossom. And that is a big reason why I think that he is deserving of Executive of the Year. Sure, you could say that this season is certainly the end result of what Zach Kleiman has done over the previous three summers. But I think that just as big of a part of that is the decision that he made to truly trust in this roster and let it take care of itself. And we see the end result. Well, that end result has certainly been helped out by the young talent that is behind the Grizzlies' best players. And we're going to discuss how that young talent is making a bit of history itself when it comes to the Grizzlies' depth as well as their young players. When it comes to the Grizzlies, though, the thing I can tell you is this, is that you always want to watch the Grizzlies. And the biggest reason why that is because when it comes to the Grizzlies' success, they're one of the best options out there when it comes to betting and wagering on sports because they typically are going to get the job done when their backs are against the wall, like they are again tonight in San Francisco. But of course, if you want the best place to go to be able to bet and wager on sports, that's betonline.net. The fastest and easiest way for you to be able to bet on all your sports action, whether it be on your mobile device, your laptop, what have you, you're going to find great options at betonline.net. Whether it be the playoff basketball, baseball, boxing, UFC, what have you, all the great stuff that you need is at betonline.net, even Vegas casino games, because you don't want to worry about the process of placing your bets and wagers. You just want to worry about tracking what you need to track to make sure you're making bets and wagers that are going to benefit you. When it comes to betonline.net, make sure you check it out today. Betonline.net, the fastest and easiest way for you to enjoy betting on all your sports action moving forward. So the Grizzlies now find themselves on the road for game six. And the crazy thing about it is this, is that before game five, I didn't know what the topic of conversation was going to be, but I was highly, highly hopeful that it would be about talking about game six. And here we are. But before we get to breaking that down, I want to remind you obviously also that cannot thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. Make sure you check out the Locked On Today podcast. Gives you the latest from around the sports world. Great content. Make sure you check out the Locked On Today podcast as your second listen of the day. So we keep talking about all these different players that are stepping up and standing out for the Grizzlies in spite of the fact that the Grizzlies have been without their biggest reason as to why they've been successful this season. That's one narrative that I think matters. And I'm not trying to create a narrative that does not need to be created yet. I think at some point in time, it's going to be relevant to talk about the fact that the Grizzlies have found this much success against the Warriors, despite the fact that the aspect of the Grizzlies, when they're at their best, has not been present. That's the ability to capitalize off both Ja Morant and Desmond Bane being at their best as one of the best backcourts in the NBA. If the Grizzlies had had Bane at 100% health this entire series, and obviously have had Ja the past two games, this could be a different outcome. There could be different storylines going into this game six. But hey, that's not how, you know, the cookie crumbled. You can only deal with what has occurred. The Grizzlies have certainly done their best in doing that. But the point that I'm getting at is that with Bane being less than 100% and Ja Morant, though he was spectacular in the first three games of this series, the Grizzlies' depth has once again shown up and delivered in this series. And that also goes to Taylor Jenkins, who has successfully been able to make adjustments. Once he knew that Ja was no longer going to be in the fold, he made adjustments to get the most out of his depth. His game plan switched to play to the strengths of the tools that he had to utilize in the game in terms of the players that he had on the roster, and that's exactly what he has done. Going with more of a defensive-oriented game plan, allowing for the Grizzlies to have the ability to move the basketball like they did in Game 5, and you see the results. And I do think, you know, we talk so much this season about what do the Grizzlies being 20-5 without Ja mean about Ja's value. Well, at the end of the day, you know which side I stand on. I've been consistent all season long. What the Grizzlies have done without Ja Morant speaks more on the talent of the Grizzlies' depth than it does anything about Ja Morant. But I think that the Grizzlies' success without Ja against the Warriors speaks to the value, again, of both Ja and the Grizzlies so far this series. Because in games 1-3, the Grizzlies were trying to figure things out. They were trying to make it to where they were going to be without Desmond Bain, who had been their best offensive contributor against Minnesota. They were trying to figure out how to make it work against a much deeper and more talented overall rotation with the Warriors than Minnesota had. But while the Grizzlies were trying to figure that out, while the depth was trying to find its groove, and while Taylor Jenkins was trying to find the right adjustments to find success against the Warriors, Ja was doing enough to keep the Grizzlies competitive, putting them in a position to win game one, though it didn't work out, helping them win game two. He was the shining light in game three, despite the blowout. But during that time frame when Ja was carrying the load on offense, which shows the value that he had, he was the one consistent threat, force, what have you, that at least made the Grizzlies competitive in this series. Unfortunately, once he went down, thankfully, the Grizzlies had had the time that they needed to make the right adjustments from the coaching staff to the roster to be able to overcome him not being available. And that's why you saw them control much of Game 4 due to great defense being played, and why you saw them be able to get the big win in Game 5, because adjustments were being made that had come from lessons learned earlier in the series when Ja was cooking. And then Ja goes out of the equation, the rest of the depth steps up, and we see what we've seen all year. The Grizzlies' depth stepping up into bigger roles and delivering. And they absolutely have done that. And it's been historical, right? Brandon Clark, Game 5, becomes the highest scoring reserve in a single season playoff run for the Grizzlies in franchise history, passing Jared Bayless. Zaire Williams, 67 points so far this playoffs. Maybe not that impressive, but when you consider how little rookies have contributed to playoff runs for the Grizzlies in their franchise history, you start to realize just how special Zaire Williams could potentially be as a player compared to other players in franchise history because of the role he's playing in as a rookie in one of the most impressive playoff runs the Grizzlies have had in their franchise history. The point that I'm getting at is that with Ja Morant out, you're seeing players, you're seeing depth for the Grizzlies step up and still help the Grizzlies play to heights that they've not played before. That they've not played in a long time. It's been 9 years since the Grizzlies have had the chance now to be able to advance in the playoffs like they did then. Really, the last time the Grizzlies had the chance to do that was against the Warriors. And I know that that series went to six games itself. I understand, though, that this time around, it feels like the Grizzlies are far more competitive against this version of the Warriors than they were once the Warriors figured out they didn't need to defend Tony Allen during the 2014-2015 season. So it all connects together. The Grizzlies' depth, the contributions that it's gotten from different players stepping up into different roles cannot be understated. But also you can't understate the value of Ja. He took care of business to the best of his ability through the first three games of this series. I know it left the Grizzlies down 2-1. But since then, the Grizzlies have outplayed the Warriors basically for all but 2 minutes of the seven quarters that the Grizzlies and Warriors' best players have been on the court. And the only reason why I didn't go 8 quarters is because the Grizzlies produced an historic blowout of the Warriors in Game 5. So the Grizzlies once again doing what they're doing without Ja Morant, in my opinion, and it may be a bit biased, but in my opinion, it shows the value of both Ja and the rest of the roster. Because as the rest of the roster was learning lessons, putting adjustments in place, figuring out how to find its groove in this series, that's when Ja was taking care of business to at least keep them afloat, at least keep them competent, allow for them to remain competitive. And then unfortunately, when his availability was no longer there due to his knee injury, that's when the Grizzlies' depth and coaching staff had the confidence to step up, and they've delivered so far. Yet I probably have too positive of a perspective for a team that's down 3-2 and also is an underdog to be able to pull it off tonight to extend their season. But at the end of the day, with where the Grizzlies are and the fact that they're doing it without being at their best, unfortunately, due to injuries to Ja and Desmond Bain, though Bain hopefully is starting to get a bit healthier, it's been quite impressive. Nothing to rest the Grizzlies' laurels on. We're not talking about moral victories. I think that the Grizzlies are too far in advance as an established, sustainable winner to consider this a moral victory. You want to go out and win the series. But I will say this series, from different perspectives, has shown the value of Ja, has shown the value of the depth the Grizzlies have, and has shown the value of Taylor Jenkins and being able to put his players consistently in position to succeed. He's going to have to do that again tonight. And the Grizzlies do have a script of success, but three big keys are what's going to really be put in place to allow for the Grizzlies to win tonight's game. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, you know that I love comparing the Grizzlies to Built Bar, because all the options that the Grizzlies have can help them put together game plans that can make their ability to win better. Well, you have many different ways you can make your day better and win the day by including Built Bar, because there's over 18 different flavors that you could choose from. But it's not just about the flavors. It's about how you use Built Bar. Maybe you use it for breakfast in the morning. Maybe it's a, you know, healthy lunch that gets you through the day, or an afternoon snack. It's going to add energy, going to taste great, going to have health benefits. That's a great thing to have in a daily nutritional addition that allows for you to make the most of your day. And if you go to Built.com right now, you're going to continue to make the most of your day, because not only are you going to be able to choose from all the flavors that are out there, 15% off by using the promo code LOCKED15. Head to Built.com right now, put in that promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Listen, we're in the same position that we are. We're in the same position now that we were on Tuesday's show. We're either going to come back, or Wednesday show. We're either going to come back this weekend and have plenty to talk about to preview an exciting Game 7, or, unfortunately, we may be talking about the start of the offseason. I'm confident the Grizzlies have a good chance tonight to actually stun the world and get the job done, but whether they do or not, we're going to have you covered right here at Locked on Grizzlies. Make sure you check out our special weekend episode, hopefully previewing a Game 7, but if not, we'll certainly have plenty to discuss on what has been a special, special season for the Grizzlies. But listen, everybody knows that this season has been special, but everybody also knows the Grizzlies' confidence is growing with how they played over the past two games. But three keys to me from the past two games really stand out as to what's going to make the difference tonight for the Grizzlies. Number one and most important, the Grizzlies have to keep their most impactful player on the court as much as possible, and that's Jaren Jackson Jr. And the big key is this. This is going to be a very tough environment, a very conducive environment when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr. to potentially get into early trouble, especially when it comes to fouls. One of the biggest keys for the Grizzlies is going to keep Jaren Jackson Jr. out of early foul trouble. Because if Jaren Jackson Jr., and that includes not having any, you know, lapse of judgment fouls, not having any simple fouls, hopefully the rest will stay from the ticky-tack fouls. But if Jaren Jackson Jr. can avoid early foul trouble and find his rhythm, that is going to be a huge benefit for the Grizzlies. Because as many have pointed out, the Warriors really don't have a combination that's going to really prevent Jaren Jackson Jr. from being able to find what he can find on the court. He may not be the best offensive player out there, but if he can be one of the top three most impactful players in this game tonight, that's going to be a huge benefit for the Grizzlies. But as we all know, that begins with him staying on the court and finding his rhythm, and that certainly will help things out. And a byproduct of that is the Grizzlies getting off to a very good start like they did in Game 5. That's another thing. I know I said three things. I'm going to make it four. The difference between Game 4 and Game 5 was the Grizzlies were able to take advantage of playing good defense early on, making life tough for the Warriors early on, but then being able to continue with it. Game 3, they found that hot early start, but then they ran into an absolute cold streak and the Warriors were able to blow the Grizzlies out. Game 4, the Grizzlies just could not find that one singular great stretch of offensive basketball to get a comfortable lead, and the Warriors eventually came back. Game 5, the Grizzlies took control and maintained control. That's exactly what they need to do in Game 6, and if Jaren Jackson Jr. can find his rhythm early, that's going to allow for them to get off to the hot start that they need. So I know I already made 2 points. We'll call it 1A, 1B. Two, the Grizzlies are going to have to make sure that they prevent the Warriors from finding those third and fourth confident scores. They're going to have to prevent, you know, a sprinkling in of 15 from Andrew Wiggins, a sprinkling in of 12 or 13 from Otto Porter. But probably the biggest key for the Grizzlies, who they won Game 5 despite the fact that Steph and Klay had great starts to the game offensively. The big key for the Grizzlies, they're going to have to find a way to keep Jordan Poole from being highly impactful. 31 points in game four, or game one, 27 points in game three. The most convincing victories for the Warriors, one consistent theme, has been Jordan Poole arguably being the best offensive player. Can the Grizzlies keep him limited like they have over the past two games? Of course, it seems Jordan Poole is dealing with a bit of injury himself. Listen, you never want to see that. But if the Grizzlies can contain him and they can make it to where another Warriors player isn't really stepping up to support Steph or Klay shooting, that could pay huge dividends for the Grizzlies. Because at the end of the day, at some point in time, whether it be tonight or perhaps if the Grizzlies win, it's going to be game seven. At some point in time, we're going to see Super Steph. We're going to see Super Steph. We saw it, you know, at times for small stretches in game one, really saw it come to light in game four in that fourth quarter. The Grizzlies are going to see Super Steph. And when I say Super Steph, I mean a stretch of play where Steph Curry just is absolutely cooking. We're likely going to see that either tonight or hopefully if we get to a game seven, we'll see it at some point in time between the next two games. The Grizzlies' ability to withstand that surge from Steph Curry, one big contributing factor is making sure nobody else is cooking as well. So the Grizzlies' ability, at the end of the day, the Grizzlies don't need to change up much defensively. They need to make their adjustments, but they also don't need to change up what's been working, which has been making the Warriors work extra hard to find the best shot possible as much as possible. I think the Warriors are going to be a lot more locked in tonight. I think there's going to be a lot more scheming, a lot more direct intent with their offensive sets that they're going to be doing tonight, trying to expose defensive mismatches. I think you're going to see the Warriors be a lot more in tune tonight than they were in game five. But I do think this Grizzlies defense can hold its own. But when that eventual surge from Steph happens, the Grizzlies have to make sure there's not anybody else cooking as well, because then that's going to be very tough to overcome. And then the third thing, moving the basketball. Obviously, it started with Dylan Brooks in game four, not trying to reopen that conversation. But the big, huge, 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 huge difference between game four and game five for the Grizzlies was simply moving the basketball. 37 assists in game five. Tyus Jones starting out the first quarter, 5 assists, 0 turnovers. The Grizzlies' ability to move the basketball created higher percentage shots, especially from distance, and what wound up happening. They got 18 threes. 18 threes. Jaren Jackson Jr. did it early. Desmond Bane contributed along the way. Tyus Jones did as well. The Grizzlies' ability to move the basketball helped them be able to find the offensive balance that they needed, as well as the open shots that made all the difference in the world. So the Grizzlies moving the basketball is going to be just as important as their ability to play defense, because the Grizzlies can do both. And when they do both at the same time, that's typically what leads to good results. Them playing good defense and moving the basketball effectively, that's one of the biggest reasons why this team went 20-5 without Ja and why they've been doing so well against the Warriors without Ja this series. So keeping Jaren out of foul trouble and helping him find his rhythm early, and a byproduct of that, getting a hot start. The Grizzlies limiting the Warriors roster, not letting unexpected sources get, you know, 15 points from Wiggins, or, you know, Poole going off for an outstanding game, or Otto Porter or somebody like that, though I know Porter's injured. The Grizzlies simply not letting the Warriors have games like the Grizzlies had, not letting the Warriors' depth really find their foothold to support Steph and Klay. That's going to be huge for the Grizzlies, but also it's going to be moving the basketball. If the Grizzlies can simply move the basketball effectively, they're going to find the consistent offense they need. Again, the Grizzlies don't necessarily need to go for 42-point quarters in this game. If they want to, by all means, do it. But the one other consistent thing from difference between Game 5 and Game 4 is that the Grizzlies avoided a cold streak in Game 5. That was just as important as the multiple hot streaks they had. Consistency on offense through ball movement is going to prevent those cold streaks like we saw happen in game four, and that's going to allow for the Grizzlies to pull off the upset. Again, may not be that much of a chance. Put 25, 30% on it, what have you. That's fine. I think it's going to be more competitive than people think. I do think the Warriors are going to be locked in. I don't think we're going to see the same result from game six, but I do think that if the Grizzlies can commit to many of the things that have been successful over the past two games, and make a few key adjustments as the game go along, they can give themselves at least a chance to win tonight's game. And if that happens, hopefully we'll be able to talk about Game 7 this weekend. Hope you enjoyed. It's going to be another late night. Drink your Red Bull. drink your coffee, whatever you enjoy when it comes to beverages, make sure you do it responsibly. But also, the best way to enjoy it is watching the Grizzlies hopefully extend their season. Going to be an exciting night. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with you for all the latest reaction when it comes to Game 6 this weekend. Can't thank you enough for joining us. My name is Sean Coleman. Find me at StatsSAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz, and right here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.